I'll never forget the moment we kissed that night at the hayride. The way that we hugged to try to keep warm while taking a sleigh ride. Magic moments, memories we've been sharing. Magic moments when two hearts are caring. In our life, we have them, magic moments, embedded in our memory banks, revisited in idle moments, precious, special, connected, grafted onto us, part of our story. Let's revisit some of them this morning. A favourite memory of an animal, a pet, a close encounter in the wild with some creature, or a visit to the petting zoo when you were little, holding a koala bear, seeing a rhino, holding a baby lamb, maybe your first puppy, who knows? Go there for a moment, that magic moment, and hold it. Or a scenery moment. Somewhere magical that you've been that you recall, maybe a sunset over the mountains or New England in the fall or seeing the fish under the ocean, the stillness of Loch Melfort. For my father was always sailing at dawn into Pitcairn Island when he was a 15-year-old Shetland Islander in his first trip with the Merchant Navy. You'll have somewhere a scenery moment. How about spending a moment remembering a special family time? Maybe a Christmas dinner when everyone was there and everyone was happy and all were well, or a birthday party for Granny, or Sunday lunch and the family are all present. You remember a magic moment? Or a time when someone was kind to you and you weren't expecting it. And you treasure that memory. Like the time my old mum was stuck in East Kilbride in the rain, having been dropped by a taxi, and she was standing there in her Zimmer and was completely unable to move, and a young, hard-looking wee Ned arranged to get her home. Someone you didn't expect to help, but he was there. You'll have a moment like that. A magic moment. Unexpected kindness. Or how about those inspiring moments when you listen to Martin Luther King Jr. speak at Washington, or Barack Obama make his speech to the Democratic Convention, or someone, some thing you heard and you thought, this is just so true and so wise and I want to be part of this. Magic moments, or a musical moment when you saw some legend play and you saw him or her live and thought, ah, oh, I never thought I'd see that's Art Garfunkel up there. Ah, oh, singing Bridge Over Troubled Waters. How amazing is that? And I'm here. Or maybe it was a symphony that touched you deeply, or a moment of magic in an opera. Magic moments. Magic moments like the disciples up the mountain with Jesus that day of the transfiguration, that totally weird experience. It was unforgettable, it was precious. When we reflect on those moments, those kinds of moments, we can perhaps detect or uncover some common themes. In those times, there's usually something coming into our story from beyond ourselves. Something bigger than we are. And our role is to be willing to recognise that, to be open to it, to let that thing beyond ourselves in, let it reach us. Often that's an approach of the beautiful. The stars at night, the crashing waves of the ocean, the beautiful. And it only happens, we only have those times when we allow ourselves time to see and to feel, to get past all the clutter of our lives and bring fresh eyes. Because those moments also bring into our story the abnormal. This is not a routine thing. We're not stacking the dishwasher here. What makes it special and memorable are the facts that the extraordinary is seeping into the ordinary and making it better and colourful and surprising. And we're letting that happen. We let it, and it's there to be known, that extraordinary, that abnormal. Those moments too are usually positive. They have an uplifting effect on us. They have impact. Sometimes in themselves, but sometimes maybe even if it's been a hard memory and we've had a struggle and we remember it with joy because we came through it and we're here to recall it. A time when we were really scared and it sticks to us and yes, it was memorable, all right. And we've come through it. And those times touch us. They move us. They are emotional, not simply cerebral or intellectual, but connecting with those real emotions that are part of who we are, those feelings of awe or gratitude or being embraced or joy at being included, really parts of who we are, and we get uplifted when we're touched there in that tenderness. And those moments are magical because they take us out of our mood. We are surprised by joy. We are lifted up in our spirits as we remember. When we go back there, how good it was to feel those feelings. What happens to allow those moments is that we make time for them. We allow ourselves time to have a special time. And that sounds really simple, but it's absolutely crucial. In the crazy, mad rush of our schedule, there are going to be magical moments that we miss if we don't allow ourselves time to be there, to stop the bus and just look and listen and feel. Sometimes when we go to a special place, that happens more readily. When you take a chance, you go to Iona or Tezzy or the Holy Land or Cluny or some little chapel up in the hills, or you walk the Camino to Santiago, or you go to a place that has got a deep historical connection with the story of humanity or of the church. And because you're there, you're kind of focused in a way that you might not otherwise be, and so what it can give you, it gives you. Because our resistance is low. We have this need in us often to be under control. Well, sometimes we need to be under control enough to let this openness is crucial, because we so often need to be under control and be in charge. Well, in those times we need to be in charge enough not to be in charge anymore, to loosen off, to be open to the feelings. Sometimes that's taken out of our hands because we're weak or fragile and we find ourselves in a vulnerable place, and that can be a portal. When you're lying in a hospital bed and you're holding someone's hand and they're holding yours, we can feel things that in our robust self-confidence and control we never feel. When we're not able to be in charge all the time anymore, that vulnerability can open us to new possibilities. That's just a fact. Sometimes when we're with others, we catch the infection of their joy or their enthusiasm or their passion. It must be great to be in one of these mass choirs singing some great hymn, "Thine Be the Glory," and you just kind of get swept up in it. All our inhibitions are gone. The infectious mood reaches us. Something happens with that sense of common purpose. by the same token, sometimes we need to be alone in a little sanctuary of serenity and stillness that we never normally allow ourselves. And in that, we find something that we don't discover anywhere else. That's why people say it's great to go on a silent retreat. And you say, what did you do? Well, I just sat there and said nothing and made some kind of internal journey, interior pilgrimage. And it was wonderful. From time to time, it's the external factor, some big crisis that's happening out there that brings the big picture into focus for us, and we readjust our priorities and we find different perspectives, and those perspectives bring blessing or challenge or call, and we're in the moment, we're engaged, we're committed. We're daring to be tender. We say to God, soften my heart. From all indifference, set me apart. I'm here now, and you are going to reveal something to me. You are going to teach me something. You are going to bless me. As we focus our heart, as we key into the significance of this moment. So whatever's happening out there, whatever the triggers are, the place, time, people, big, small crowds, on their own or whatever, the trigger might be exterior, but the response is internal, personal, private, and very deep. And we have had a magic moment. And you would like to hope that church would be a great place for those moments, mystery moments, worship moments. You sing a hymn, and it's maybe one you've sung 50 times before. We cannot tell what pains you had to bear, but we believe it was for us. It was for us. And it's different this time we sing it. Or when you're in a place with sacred recollections of people and places and the folk who worshipped around you, who've run their race and won their crown, and you get a sense of all of that and the amazing story that is the church. Or when we're in church and we're really praying, we're not just listening to someone saying a prayer, we're actually praying, then there's the opportunity for something precious to take place. The sacraments do that. You know, when we're taking bread and wine and everyone's heart, everyone's mind, everyone's spirit is focused on the story of love that those symbols tell, bread and wine. Or at a baptism when a child is being included into the family of the church and we recognise that it's about God's grace and God's love, and however small and puny and fragile and vulnerable this child is, the love of God surrounds him or her. God knows his name. And I tell you, when we sing, "The Lord bless thee and keep thee," the tears are flowing. Or maybe we get a word from the Lord, a word of hope or forgiveness or clarity, and it changes the direction of our life. A magic moment for those disciples on the mountain. This was their time, and Peter remembered it decades later. He wrote, "For we did not follow cleverly devised stories when we told you about the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ in power, but we were eyewitnesses of his majesty. He received honour and glory from God the Father when the voice came to him from the majestic glory saying, 'This is my Son, whom I love, with him I am well pleased.' We ourselves heard this voice that came from heaven when we were with him on the sacred mountain." A magic moment. I'll never forget the day that we met up there on the mountain. Magic moments.